Several headlines that we've been following for several weeks, starting off with Fairfield a couple weeks ago trying to determine whether or not to extend their moratorium for cannabis sales in town, set to expire this month. Shelton has just put out there that they have a public hearing coming up next month to decide what they're going to do about their moratorium. And in Stratford, for the first time since pot became legal in 2021, there is a company trying to open up a dispensary for both medical and recreational use in the town. It got me thinking, we've never really had a doctor come on the show to talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between when it comes to cannabis use. So joining us this morning with Hartford HealthCare's Cancer Institute at St. Vincent's Medical Center is surgeon Dr. Brian Wang. Good morning, Dr. Wang. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Tell me, if you don't mind, Brian, what were your thoughts when you learned 2 years ago that Connecticut was going to make pot legal, something that many other states have decided to do, and you knew this was going to obviously make an impact on probably your practice and just Connecticut residents in general?
Sure. Having just come from Massachusetts, where it's already been legal for a few years, I anticipate that there's going to be more awareness of its impact on your day-to-day life, even if you don't smoke marijuana. And, of course, it raises all the questions that you are in terms of the possible detriments to your health if you're exposed to it, and make you wonder if you're going to venture out and give it a try for the first time as to how safe it is.
What did you experience in Massachusetts? Do you mind sharing?
No, not at all. As a thoracic surgeon, I am more on the business end of some complications from those kinds of practices. So I did see in my own practice an uptick in cases of collapsed lung, both from smoking marijuana and in vaping. And especially with the vaping, I saw more young adults coming in with issues, whereas my practice is usually concerned with people who are much older.
So let me understand this correctly, because I have not really heard a lot about this. Are you saying, Dr. Wang, that there is a connection between cannabis use and lung cancer?
Well, the jury's still out on that. And when I say cannabis use, I should clarify that it's smoking cannabis. There's evidence back and forth on it. There are meta-analyses that have looked at a bunch of studies, and there's so much variability that there's no real conclusive evidence that it causes lung cancer, which is not to say that there are other bad things that can happen that shouldn't concern us. But as far as cancer itself, we don't have the proof. I suspect it's because we haven't had it legal long enough to make it feasible for proper study. We've got things, and part of the reason why the evidence is a little bit all over the place is that it's been hard to design a study where you have controls and whatnot to draw stronger conclusions. So we have some weak evidence for and against, and we've looked at evidence from outside of the United States, where it has been legal for a number of years. And even with that, and then trying to control for people who also smoke cigarettes, also the potency, and it's hard to account for the content of the marijuana. There's so much variability in what people get. So it's been hard to actually pinpoint, but in knowing that there are a lot of the same problematic chemicals and things like tar, formaldehyde, et cetera, we can expect that there's going to be some stronger evidence down the line when we look at it.
So we're talking to Dr. Wang this morning, a thoracic surgeon. What is a thoracic surgeon, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, not at all. Yeah, we don't get a lot of focus and attention as a profession. And, you know, you don't tend to know a person who knows someone who's had surgery from a thoracic surgeon. But we're basically surgeons who operate in the chest. You know, the profession more broadly is cardiothoracic surgery. So therein is, you know, what people more often associate us with, which is open heart surgery. But some of us, like myself, concentrate just on the other aspects of diseases in the chest, including cancer, lung cancer, certainly. So we're doing those surgeries on the lung, the esophagus, and other structures in the chest.
So you noted, Dr. Wang, when I had asked you about what you saw while practicing in Massachusetts, you specifically said smoking marijuana. Now, forgive me, I'm not a pot user of any kind, so I don't really know what the difference would be of smoking versus using edibles, for example. Why would smoking marijuana give you a higher chance of having maybe long-term effects like a lung cancer versus just taking gummies or something like that? Is it like, what does the act of smoking, I guess, do to your body differently than ingesting an edible?
It's the smoke and the burning of a substance.
Okay.
That releases things like formaldehyde and other chemicals. The way you smoke it is also a little bit different from how people tend to smoke cigarettes. So it's potentially more damaging to the lungs with the deeper inhalation and holding your breath, and plus knowing what's in there kind of clues us into, I think, what's going to happen down the line with the evidence. The THC, the active substance, mm-hmm. in and of itself is not known to cause lung cancer. People think that maybe it leads to other things like suppressing the immune system, but it's really the smoke in smoking cannabis that's dangerous.
What about then hookah for people who do hookah, go to hookah bars or lounges or have their own sets at home? Even though that's legal, it's still that same idea of taking in smoke in some way, right, and holding it. Like, would that also be something of concern?
Yeah. You know, that's a good question. I haven't really seen anything in the literature on that. But yeah, I'll have to look into that a little bit more. Conceptually, yeah. If you're inhaling smoke, something that's been burned, I got to think that you're going to see a lot of the same reactive substances that can cause inflammation and potentially lead to cancer.
Interesting. We are chatting this morning with surgeon Dr. Brian Wang of Hartford HealthCare's Cancer Institute at St. Vincent's Medical Center, talking about the effects of marijuana or even vaping. Could it cause things like lung cancer? One of the concerns, Dr. Wang, that we get a lot, the idea of secondhand smoke, and it's something that was very heavily looked at when it came to cigarette use, and it was proven, obviously, that it could cause secondhand smoke. And so the question from a lot of people is, can marijuana do the same? Especially now, even if you were a user before, you were kind of more private. And before it was legal, you were probably doing it in the residence of your home or far away from schools, for example, bus stops, even downtown areas where now you could be exposing things like secondhand smoke to young children or even people who have underlying conditions. What can you tell us about just in general secondhand smoke with cannabis use?
Well, secondhand smoke in normal cigarettes, like you pointed out, is associated with lung cancer. But you do have to be around it a lot, and you have to be within pretty close proximity to the brunt of it. To the extent that we still don't know much about the effects of smoking marijuana on lung cancer, we kind of have to extrapolate and look at those factors that are in common. I pointed out some of the same substances that are in the smoke, come from burning the stuff. So I think we can expect that secondhand smoke, if experienced on a consistent basis and in close enough proximity, will also give you that risk, but just a guess. As I pointed out before, there are other issues, other health problems besides lung cancer. There are also other reasons to be mindful of things like that. And I suspect that's going to be like less exposure more of an irritant. So those are things like asthma, disposition to respiratory infections, that kind of thing that can happen from having it around. And certainly among kids, it can be a dangerous thing. We've seen in regular cigarette secondhand smoke that it's even linked to sudden infant death syndrome. So it is good to be mindful, and there is something to having it around, and not just annoying, but it could actually be harmful. So best to minimize that as much as you can.
So you were saying, Dr. Wang, that there are other health issues that can come from cannabis use. What specifically are you talking about?
There are those lung issues like asthma, but you can also get ear infections. In children, especially, they tend to have more middle ear infections. But it also affects the vascular system and the heart. It's associated with coronary artery disease, stroke. Those are pretty substantial things.
Yeah, no question. And the one thing, Dr. Wang, that unfortunately we're sort of in this waiting period, it sounds like, we're still kind of waiting for, I would think, federal approval to have really in-depth studies on marijuana use. Why are we still very much in this gray area of we think these are professional opinions from what we have seen, but we don't have strong data on cannabis use at this point?
Yeah. We do the best we can with what we have, it's good to be cautious, but it's been hard to study. It hasn't been legal, and it's been hard to get research funded to look at this in a systematic way. And for a long enough period of time, you need about 20 years to see the natural history of it bear fruit. At least if you extrapolate from lung cancer information. But I suspect in the next 20 years, now that it's rolling out and could potentially be legal on a national basis, we'll see more scrutiny and greater, more precise information on what we can expect.
Well, we really appreciate having you on this morning, Dr. Brian Wang with Hartford HealthCare's Cancer Institute at St. Vincent's Medical Center. Appreciate your time. And of course, if people want to learn more, you can always go to hartfordhealthcare.org/cancer. I appreciate you, Dr. Wang. Thank you.
Sure thing. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. I want to welcome back to the show Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti. Good morning, Mayor Loretti. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you on this sunny spring-like morning.
I know. What in the world is going on? I know. My brother-in-law the other day, I know he was being obviously very sarcastic, but he's like, embrace this. These are the golden years of climate change. And I'm like, oh, God, why would you say that? But it's so true. It's like, what is going on? It's the middle of February, 60 degrees. I don't know. So enjoy it, I guess. Enjoy it while it lasts. I don't know. It's crazy stuff, but definitely great golfing. Aren't you a golfer?
I am.
Golfing in February. Do you ever think you'd say that?
not in Connecticut. It's still hard to do this time of the year because the ground freezes and thaws.
That's true.
You know, it gets a little soggy. But, you know, you talk about climate change. You know, a week and a half ago, we were sub-zero temperatures.
I know. Oh, gosh, I can't keep up with it. It's crazy. So I, why not focus on pot, I guess. Now, I'm going to be honest, Mayor Loretti. I'm not a marijuana user, so I don't have, per se, like an opinion on it, and I try to keep opinions off of it. But I was curious if you could first just set the record straight for where Shelton's coming from. Of course, there are several officials running Shelton and many people who weigh in on the conversation. But for you personally, as the mayor of Shelton, what are your thoughts on legal cannabis and sort of where Shelton should fit in the mix with it?
Well, you know, I'm kind of indifferent on this topic. I'm not a marijuana user, never have been. I don't think that it's good to introduce another substance into society when we've already got an opioid epidemic here in America and haven't solved that. Now with the infusion of fentanyl into other drugs coming in from foreign countries, you know, we can't handle what we have now. So, you know, why complicate it and add more things to the equation?
So you were not a fan of it becoming legal, it's fair to say.
You know, look, I'm not really, but, you know, I'm not that opposed to it. You know, people are going to do what they're going to do. And you know, some people in Hartford and Washington think that they can legislate behavior. And okay, good luck with that. You know, we can't control people going the wrong way on the highways and killing other people.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, you're right. You're right. So with that being said, then, so it's here and it's not obviously going anywhere. So what do you want to see happen in Shelton?
Well, personally, I hope that the Planning and Zoning Commission would recognize this, that we're pretty busy. We have a lot of stuff on our plate. You know, our Planning and Zoning Commission meets sometimes as much as 3 and 4 times a month, which is
really
unheard of. And we can't keep up with what we have. We're very fortunate in that regard that we have got great development, and we should be focusing on that. You know, I'll take the revenue and property taxes and personal property off of these manufacturers that want to move into Shelton. You know, that to me is the more long-term, sustainable economic plan that you can have. In addition to that, Melissa, they bring jobs. They help lift people up in society, those jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Feed their families, pay their mortgages. They spend money, disposable income, into our restaurants and our hotels, et cetera, smaller business. It's a real economic driver. I don't see cannabis doing that.
So you don't see cannabis doing that. Interesting.
No, I don't. You know, look, we've got the buildings that are going up left and right, the apartment buildings, manufacturing buildings. Those are, to me, that's sustainable. Those things have stood the test of time.
I just want to make sure I understand. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Mayor Loretti. So in your opinion, there are other things, and we've certainly seen that with Shelton. I think you guys have a very clear track record, and it's been highlighted, especially in the last few years, that you have other industries, other businesses that have been coming into the city and have been bringing great success, bringing jobs. So you don't really want to touch the cannabis industry just from a business standpoint. You don't feel that it would make sense to get involved with that.
Well, I just think that we should focus on what's in front of us. Let's focus on the things that have brought us success and that work, and we know work. So, and not to suggest that cannabis won't, but, you know, again, why complicate things even more with regulation and oversight? We can't oversee what we have now in government. And I'm speaking in general terms.
I know. Yeah, of course. So here's my question. We're talking to Shelton Mayor Mark Loretti this morning. There is a moratorium that is in place, and many cities and towns across Connecticut did this when we found out that marijuana was going to be legal in Connecticut. Your moratorium is up in March. So what do you, if it were to stay in place, if it were to be extended, what basically is the next step? What, you know, can happen? Because even to explain that would be very helpful for people. Like, at some point, there can't be a moratorium in place. So what essentially could happen in Shelton?
Well, our Planning and Zoning Commission established a subcommittee to research what the regulations might look like, to gauge public opinion. They've got a public hearing coming up, I want to say the end of this month or sometime beginning of March, to gauge it, what the public reaction is to it. And then they'll decide whether they want to go forward with it or not.
So if they go forward with the moratorium, how long can that stay in place? Like a year? Like, how long does that typically stay in place?
Yeah, I think it can go for another year.
Okay, got it. Would you like to see the moratorium stay in place?
Well, I would just like to see them take an action saying that we're not going to put it in place. We're not going to regulate it. Let it go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. So that was going to be my next question. Do you mind if neighboring towns or cities regulate it, but you just don't really want it in Shelton?
Well, it's not a question whether I don't want it. Again, I want to reinforce that we have so many other things on our plate that we need to focus on. And to add one more, maybe controversial topic, I don't know, but another thing that consumes your time and your thought process, to me, just clouds the issue. Let's focus on what we have in front of us.
Do you mind actually saying a couple of things on the horizon while I do have you here, Mayor Loretti, for another minute? Like, what are some things that you are very focused on and would rather put in front of the cannabis conversation?
Well, we're focused on the extension of Constitution Boulevard. The city owns approximately 75 acres at the end of that road that we have sold off to different manufacturers. We were making it a corporate manufacturing park. And our keynote, if you will, is Bigelow Tea. And so we'll have manufacturers that are looking to consolidate. They're looking to grow. All new construction. All companies that bring jobs, that create disposable income. We continue our work in the downtown area along the Canal Street and the Housatonic River. That net old war zone that existed from dilapidated at the turn of the century industrial buildings that, the things that we don't do anymore in America. And so we've spent 30 years trying to reconvert that area, and we've got applications and groundbreakings coming up with respect to that. So those are very important things to stay focused on, make sure that we're getting the right product in terms of building size and parking requirements and the uses that they bring, understanding, how all of this development impacts our infrastructure. It's very consuming. And, people on boards and commissions, and not just here in Shelton, but everywhere, they come and go over the course of time. And it's very hard for new members to get caught up to speed, to understand the big picture, to understand the impacts that housing brings into a downtown area, how it affects the sewer system, how it affects your parking and your road configuration. And so, that's another reason why I say, hey, why can continue to compound the complexity of what's going on here? Let's stay focused on things that are working for us.
No, I absolutely hear what you're saying. And I thank you so much for your comments, Mayor Mark Loretti. And again, if you live in Shelton and you want to get in on the conversation, there is going to be a public hearing. It's set for March 15th. And as we get closer to that date, we'll give you more of the details on it and, of course, give you some reminders as well. Mayor Loretti, thank you so much. Always appreciate your time. And we'll talk again next time. Now checking in with First Select Woman Brenda Kupchick. Good morning, Brenda. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Melissa. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you so much for asking. I'm glad to have you here. Brenda and I are friends on social media, so she saw that I made like a quick trip over to Disney for 24 hours. And I'm still kind of like recovering, but we're good. Yeah, we're doing okay.
That was adorable, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, I love my baby brother.
Sweet.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
Very sweet and heartwarming.
Aw, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, he's a good one. He's worth it. He's worth the quick travel. So I appreciate you saying that. I want to know what's going on in Fairfield. I remember reading a few weeks back that your moratorium in place for the town was expiring this month when it comes to cannabis sales. Has it already expired? Did you guys extend it? What's going on?
So where we are now is our last year, the TPNZ voted to install the moratorium because it was so new and no one really knew what was going on yet. The regulations hadn't really come out. So it made sense. I'd spoken to our planning director, and we had a long conversation. Then he went and spoke with our planning and zoning commission, and they put a moratorium in place. That expires at the end of this month, February 28th.
Okay. That's what I thought.
They're meeting on the 14th there's a lot of things on the agenda. To Mayor Loretti's point, towns have a lot of stuff going on. It's a good thing, right? So Fairfield's got a lot going on. We have a lot of different projects on the agenda. TPNC is you know, moving and shaking and got a lot of different things to look at. But, yes, they're going to take it up on the 14th. I would prefer, and I hope they will agree, that we should consider extending the moratorium. Because right now, if you look at it, there's 59 municipalities basically reporting a regulatory status with the state. And 9 voted to allow, 14 voted to prohibit, and 36 are setting moratorium. So I think there's sort of a wait-and-see attitude, and I like us to be that way, too. I want us to see how it's working in other towns, how it looks. Because similar to liquor establishments, correct, like the state has a regulatory process, you know, how many medallions can be given per person, how many, for example, Melissa Schenkoff could have only a certain amount of liquor stores. And so there's certain regulatory things I think the town needs to look at, as well as how many do you want. So right now, the current regulations with the state are you can have one for every 25,000 residents, and Fairfield has approximately 62,000. So under the current statute, we could have 2 in the town of Fairfield, but there's so many other pieces to it that, I mean, I would prefer they wait and establish another moratorium for a year before we establish what guidelines, where, how, what.
So how do you feel about because, again, like you said, the moratorium would last for probably about another year. But where is Fairfield sort of at with, because I was thinking, you know, Fairfield's in a little bit of a different situation than Shelton in the sense that Bridgeport just approved not one but 2 recreational dispensaries that are going to be opening up in a matter of months. And I was thinking to myself, like, do you have sort of the approach that Mayor Loretti does, which is, listen, I don't care what other people do. I don't care what other towns or cities are doing around us. This is not a point of focus for us here in our city. Is that how you feel in Fairfield?
Yes, I feel the same way. To Mayor Loretti's point, there are a lot of varying issues going on in your community. Our planning and zoning, I just put some money, ARPA money, toward updating with a consultant our POCD, which is the planning document for the town. It hasn't been updated in quite a while. You want to have a good planning document for any town so you know where you are, where you're going, where do you want to go, and how do you want to see the town developed going forward. So there's a lot of different things going on in addition to planning and zoning's having so many 8-30G. I heard a PP&Z member call in before from Stratford, and they're sort of under the same situation we are, dealing with lots of applications for 8-30G developments, which cause a lot of consternation in the community. And the planning and zoning sometimes will have hearings that last, you know, just for weeks and weeks, you know, so much stress on their ability to make decisions. And there's other things happening. So, no, it's not to me a big boom, like we're going to approve a few cannabis shops and Fairfield's going to, you know, have a whole change in its economic outlook.
So it's not, So my question is, and we're talking to Brenda Kupchick, the first elect woman of Fairfield, and it sounds like, is there a lot of support around extending the moratorium? Does it sound like that's probably going to be the case?
Based on what I heard from the public hearing that they had, the people that did come out were wanting the moratorium, most specifically the Fairfield Cares Coalition in our town, which deals with substance abuse prevention. And they've weighed in. They would like to see them extend the moratorium.
Okay. So with that being said, knowing that eventually, sorry about that, excuse me, knowing eventually something is going to have to be put into place, has Fairfield even begun thinking about where that would be? Because Fairfield's a little tricky. You've got universities, you've got a lot of schools, high schools. I mean, you have a lot going on there. Beach community, that's been an issue, like with the colleges before and substance abuse. So have you guys thought of where you could even potentially open shops, or at least allow, if there were to be a proposal from a developer, where they could go?
Well, see, there's a rub, right? So the planning and zoning would need more time to research and develop. Yeah, what are the regulations? How where are they supposed to be? Like, for example, you can't have certain establishments so close to a school. Now, again, this is a regulated
a retail shop, right? It's not like someone who's just opening a pot shop without a whole bunch of regulations. So there are age limits. It's not as if a teenager can go in and buy marijuana similar to alcohol. There's regulations involved right. with it. So I'm not sure how they're going to, you know, look at it. They're going to obviously have to take, they're going to look really hard at the state statutes, see what the regulatory process is, and then develop it for our town. And I think then it will be just considered like any other retail shop, one per every 25,000. So we would, from my understanding of what the regulations are now, the statute, we would only be able to have two. Now, we're, you know, the planning and zoning would decide where, and I'm sure there will be a lot of public hearing about it.
Yes, I would think so.
For example, you wake up one morning and you read in the newspaper that there's one proposed on the corner of your street. You know, your neighbors and you might want to show up at that public hearing. Who knows?
Right. Exactly. As far as the moratorium extension is concerned, Brenda, is that a closed meeting, like making that decision? Or is that a public hearing or anything like that?
No, they have their public hearing on this matter.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if they actually will take additional public hearing because they have other items on their agenda. So they have their own rules, how they manage their meetings. But I think they already had a public hearing on it. So now they just have to take that information, also look at the information and then take research that our planning director will give to them. And then they have to make a decision. And I hope they do decide to extend the moratorium to get more information. To me, it always makes sense to, what is it, measure twice, cut once?
Right. I know. I hear what you're saying, and I do think, Brenda, that I think a lot of people fall in the same categories you do. A lot of the towns and cities, even surrounding Fairfield, are in this in between. Either, you know, they're nose deep in, okay, we're going to start this, we're going with it, we're prepared for it, we're ready, and then there are a lot of other municipalities who are like, hey, you know what, we need another year, where we just need a little bit more time to really figure out, cross our T's and dot our I's, as they say. So I appreciate you weighing in on this, Brenda, and I look forward to talking to you again really soon. Fairfield's always in the news, good, bad, or indifferent, so I'm sure I'll be talking to you very soon.
I'm sure we will. Have a great week.
Thank you. Always appreciate you. That is the first elect woman, Brenda Kupchick, in Fairfield, right here on WICC. So another big story that we are following this morning, speaking of cannabis, there are plans that have been revealed of what could be Stratford's first marijuana dispensary. Over the weekend, we learned Chicago-based Verano has announced plans to convert a former bank on Stratford Avenue into a hybrid dispensary offering medical and adult use marijuana products. Now, I do not know if this phone call has to do with that story, but I did learn that Mike, who's calling right now from Stratford, is on the P&Z committee. So I would love to get his thoughts on this and maybe hear from him when it comes to cannabis use and businesses potentially opening up in Stratford. So good morning, Mike. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
How you doing?
I mean, and I can't complain.
Full disclosure, in Stratford, planning and zoning are two separate departments or commissions. So I'm actually on planning.
Oh, I did not know that.
It's separate.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. In most towns, they're together.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing.
Cool.
But I'll be talking general so that I don't run afoul of what my position is. But based on what the simple question you asked the mayor, which, you know, was a little difficult, I had a lot of doublespeak there, is the state law is the state law. There are moratoriums in place that we also put one in place as well. But it comes a point where you're going to have to follow the law and find the most convenient place, because when you're a representative of a town such as Stratford or Shelton, mm-hmm. you represent the public, the greater town, not your own opinion. A lot of things I don't necessarily agree with, but when a law comes down, you have to find a way to execute it, or else you'll run afoul of a state law.
Okay, so that's what I was kind of getting at was, all right, you could do a moratorium for however long, but at some point, that's sort of what I was wondering is how long is too long? Like, at what point do you then have to follow the law and put something in place? So, you know, in Stratford's situation, I don't know, is there a moratorium currently in place for Stratford?
Yes, and I don't off the top of my head know when it ended, because I voted for that as well.
Okay.
Considering we didn't know at the time, COVID was still kind of happening. So mm-hmm. I'm not sure when ours does expire.
Okay.
But it does have an expiration date, at which point we'll have to try to decide where it's going to be for the benefit of people who want it and also not to the detriment of people don't want to see it right there. And that's the dance you're doing. Like, you can't, you're going to offend someone. Someone's not going to be happy wherever it goes, but it has to go somewhere. It's the same thing with liquor stores. We had a Beaupro liquor store in a particular part of town, and I specifically fought against it to say, hey, there's one right there, and there's one right here. We don't need another one.
Mm.
In this case, it's going to be one outlet, or I don't know how many are allowed, but you're not going to see them like liquor stores. That's the big difference.
Interesting.
It's not going to be a proliferation of them.
But essentially, Mike, unless I'm getting this incorrect, essentially, even when your moratorium ends, basically towns and cities are going to have to decide where, if a company comes to them and says, hey, I want to open up a shop, where it would be appropriate. Is that what you're saying? Like, we have to make it where real estate is at least available to them, or we're saying, hey, if this ever were to become a proposed place for a dispensary, we have to allow it. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Okay.
And, you know, listen, we all know how things are done. Things could be, oh, well, we don't want them there, and then, you know, run you around the circle and, you know, fight it. And but then you'll start to, you know, have lawsuits against you that you're being prejudiced against someone, you know, not allowing them to do it, almost like affordable housing. You know, that's a law, too, but somehow it's getting delayed. Oh, not here. Wait a minute. It's got to be like this. Oh, you forgot a piece of paperwork that you filed. You see how it works.
Right. Right. Well, Mike,
so that you don't run afoul of that, you know, you're going to have to answer your question. Eventually, you're going to have to comply and be reasonable to allow it somewhere.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I hear you, Mike. And I appreciate your call in explaining this, because I do think it can get confusing, especially when you see that it's different in every town and city. And I know that was part of the law passing, was that it allowed a certain amount of time for cities and towns to kind of come up with their own plans. Some jumped on it immediately. Others said, hey, you know what? We are not ready to tackle this right now. But very interesting in the town of Stratford. What do you think, really quick, before I let you go, Mike, what do you think about the potential plans to have Verano open a shop?
It's a funny story. That's actually where I get my hair care products as well. So it's kind of funny.
Oh, funny. Interesting.
And I was dropping my daughter off, and I was just saying, hey, by the way, honey, they're thinking about doing that. And then it was on the radio. I'm like, wow, are they listening to us?
Well, so, I wasn't going to say anything, Mike, but yes, I'm tapping your phone. So now you know. Now
yeah,
you know what I'm doing, and
so.
Now you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, where that is, I mean, I couldn't really tell you. It's kind of a shock to me, too, because I saw it on my phone, CT Post last night. So I'd have to really think about that area as well and see the feasibility of it. Like, okay, if not there, where?
Right.
Well, is there someplace better than that?
Mm.
Or is this not good? You know, it's kind of one of those things, not in my backyard. You know, it's all new like everything else is. When something new happens, you don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we don't have the benefit of time to see, oh, that's okay, that would have worked. You know, hindsight 2020.
Right.
So
it's true.
Again, that spot there, you know, I'm not really sure myself, but, you know, I'm going to have to do my due diligence like the rest of the board, and we'll have to think about it and see if it's feasible.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate the phone call. That was not prompted. And I appreciate you calling into the show. Thank you so much for your insight. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate the great job that you do in getting those different subject matters on. So thanks again.
Not a problem, Mike. I appreciate it. Again,